Continuing with the island of Jambu Dweep. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraya Nasta Praisu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. A regular attendance in classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And thus, transcendental service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Kalpayusham Kalpayusham Stanajayat Stanajayat Punarbhavat Punarbhavat Kshanayusham Kshanayusham Bharatabhujayo Bharatabhujayo Varam, varam, kshanena, kshanena, martyena, martyena, kritam, manasvina, manasvina, sanyasya, sanyasya, samyanti, samyanti, Abhayam, Abhayam, Param, Param, Hare, Hare. Kalpayusham Stanajayat Punarbhavat. Kalpayusham Stanajayat Punarbhavat. Kshanayusham Bharatabhujayo Varam Kshanayusham Bharatabhujayo Varam Kshanena Martyena Kritam Matasvina Kshanena Martyena Kritam Manasvina Sanyasya samyantya bhayam param hare Sanyasya samyantya bhayam param hare Kalpayusham stana jayat punar bhava Kshanayusham bharata bhujayo varam Kshanena Martyena Kritam Manasvina Sanyasya Samyantya Bhayam Padam Hare Kalpayusham Stana Jayat Punar Bhava Kshanayusham Bharata Bhujayo Varam Shanena Martyena Kritam Manashvina Sanyasya Samyantyabhayam Param Hare. Samstana Jaya Punar Baba Shanayu Sambharata Pujayo Vara Shanena Matye Kritam Manasvina Yatya Vayam Param Hare. Kalpayustam sthana jayat punar bhava Chunayu sambharat pujaya varam Chunena marte kritam manasvina Sanyasya Samyan Yabayam Padam Hare. Kalpayu Shamsta Jayat Punar Bhava Shanayu Sambha Ujaya Bhava Shanena Matye Kritam Manasvinaha Sanyasya Samyam Yavayam Padam Hare. Marjis. Kalpayushamsta Jayat Punar Bhava Shanayu Sambhar Pujaya Varam Shanena Matye Kritam Manasvina Sanyasya Samyam Yavayam Param Hare. Kalpa Ayusham. Of those who have a life duration of many millions of years, like Lord Brahma, Stanajayad, then achievement of the place or planetary systems, Punabhavad, which is liable to birth, death, and old age, Kshana Uyusham, of persons who have only 100 years of life. Bhartabhu Jaya, a birth in the land of Bhartavarsh. Varam, more valuable. Kshanena, for such a short life. Martyena, by the body. Kritam, the work executed. Manasvina, those actually understanding the value of life. Sanyasya, surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Samyanti, they achieve. Abhayam, where there is no anxiety. Padam, the abode. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A short life in the land of Bhartavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bhartavarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by surrendering fully under the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Please repeat. A short life in the land of Bhartavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bhartavarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering under the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Excuse me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata bhumite hoya manushya janmajar janmashartaka kari kara para upakara. One who has taken birth in the land of Bhartavarsha has full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and thus finally decide what to do in this human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma suchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Man mana bhavamad bhakto vajjaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer me obeisances. This is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Tatra deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bhartavarsha. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Chikki Jai Shri Shri Radha Sham Lalita Vishakhi Ki Jai Shri Shri Gauri Tai Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadanti Shva Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Vika Kanda Radha Kantana Moshtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwade Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchukaupaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Dithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest depths of ignorance, but my eternal spiritual master, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya, Astatara Sarishi Shimar, Divine Gracious A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances under his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? So these are continuing with the wonderful prayers of the residents of the heavenly planet. And yesterday, when Maharaj was giving class, I was thinking that you know, in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the nature of the heavenly planets. And we hear about how less fortunate people are those who engage in the worship of the demigods. Starting in Bhagavad Gita, as the Lord says, Kamaista istar kritigyanaha. Prapadyantena devata tam tam niyamamashtaya prakrita niyatashvaya. That those who worship the demigods are hritigyanaha. They have lost their intelligence. Yesham tvandikatam bappam jananam puni karmano te dvandva muhanir mukta vrjante mam durda vata. That their fruits are limited and temporary. So those who worship the demigods are considered less intelligent. And upon undergoing so many sacrifices and austerities and penances and preparing oneself for a so-called superior life of elevated sense enjoyment, inconceivable to us in relation, in perspective, to our short span of life. Lord Brahma lives how long? And he's living longest in the heavenly planets. He's living 4,300,000,000 years times 2 times 30 times 12 times 100 years. Practically inconceivable to us. So, but I was thinking this is quite nice to actually hear not only Krishna talk about the disadvantage of worshipping the demigods, and it talked about throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, but now we have the demigods themselves who are appearing and saying, don't worship us. We're desiring a birth down in Bharatavarsh, which is subject to the miseries acute miseries of birth, old age, and disease, as we hear in the heavenly planets. The miseries are very much less there. But the most miserable part of material existence, apart from just feeling the acute miseries, is the fact that we're forgetting Krishna and we're missing out on the highest nectar that's available in any sphere of life. I thought we would hear, following in that vein, prayers by different exalted devotees, beginning with Lord Brahma, as a disadvantage of worshipping the demigods. In Lord Brahma's prayers, he says, "My Lord, you were not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arranged for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who were full of material hankerings. You were situated in everyone's heart as a supersoul, just to show your causeless mercy, and you were the eternal well-wisher, but you were unavailable to the non-devotees." Srila Prabhupada's purport. The demigods are called Sakama devotees, or devotees with material desires in mind. And while the pure devotees are called Nishkama devotees, because they have no desires for their personal interests, the Sakama devotees are self-interested, because they do not think of others, and therefore they are not able to satisfy the Lord perfectly. Whereas the pure devotees take the missionary responsibility of turning non-devotees into devotees, and they are therefore able to satisfy the Lord more than the demigods. This is the great secret of Krishna consciousness. A devotee is not interested in his own self-interest. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us as devotees to raise ourselves up from the neophyte platform, which is the model of the neophyte devotee, as he's attached simply to worship of the Lord in the temple. And he's not able to recognize the Lord in the heart of all, first of all, of all his devotees, and therefore give proper respect to the devotees, what to speak of other living beings. So this great fortune we've got to be born in the land of Bhartavarsha, or someone who doesn't have that good fortune, such as myself, who was born in a very sinful place, but who we can say Bhartavarsha came to us in the form of Srila Prabhupada and gave us that benefit and gave us our real birth into the transcendental service of the Lord. How much we owe that personality, how much we owe to the incredible great fortune of taking birth in Bhartavarsha. So let us continue reading different prayers by different exalted personalities. Dhruva Maharaj, when he started performing his severe austerities for the desire to gain a kingdom even greater than his father or grandfather, the Lord appeared to him So Dhruva Maharaj, young boy, 5 years old, following the instructions of Narada Muni, and very incredibly strictly following these strict principles of yoga, not eating, not drinking, not even breathing air, was able to capture the form of the Lord in his heart. The form of the Lord, which is brilliant like lightning, and which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus Dhruva was perturbed, and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell flat before him like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj, in ecstasy, looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. Naturally, when Dhruva Maharaj personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he was very much agitated in awe and respect, and it appeared as if he was drinking the entire body of the Lord with his eyes. The devotee's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so intense that he wants to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. And he wants to touch the tips of the toes of the Lord and constantly embrace his lotus feet. All these features of Dhruva Maharaj's bodily expression indicate that upon seeing the Lord face to face, he developed the 8 kinds of transcendental ecstasy in his body. So this is why the great exalted souls who have also captured the Lord in the heart by their sincere devotion, they say that this enjoyment in the heavenly planets, living for millions and billions of years in a level of material happiness which is so great we can hardly imagine, and any kind of material sense gratification we find pleasant here is like just like pots of poison. And devotees are not at all attracted by such things, because they're always, as it said, eagerly engaged in licking up the honey that is available at the lotus feet of the Lord. And it's said that even devotees who engage in the service of the Lord, who surrender the Lord and engages himself in his service, by some mistake and some inattentiveness at some point, may fall down from their practice. Still, they can't help but remember that nectar of the Lord again and again, and they eventually return to the service of the Lord's lotus feet. Therefore it said, Ehabikramunasosti Prativayona Vidyate Sopamapyasya Dharmasya Traite Mahatobaya. That is, in this endeavor, there is no loss, there is no diminution, and just a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So Dhruva Maharaj continues. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a small boy, he wanted to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in suitable language. But because he was inexperienced, he could not adjust himself immediately. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, could understand Dhruva's awkward position. Out of his causeless mercy, he touched his conch shell to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj, who stood before him with folded hands. Purport. Every devotee wants to chant the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Devotees are always interested in hearing about the Lord's transcendental qualities, but they are always eager to glorify these qualities, but sometimes they feel inconvenienced by humbleness. The personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, specifically gives the devotee intelligence to describe him. It is therefore understood that when a devotee writes or speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the words are dictated by the Lord from within. So this is really wonderful that Dhruva Maharaj, a boy of only 5 years old, what did he know about the Vedic knowledge? But he had become purified by the Lord's darshan. All of his senses were absorbed in transcendental ecstasy of the Lord, and he developed a great spontaneous desire to glorify the Lord. So the Lord simply touched his forehead with his conch shell, and Dhruva Maharaj immediately immediately became aware of all the Vedic conclusions. The same thing happened, of course, to Prahlad Maharaj when he approached the Lord with folded hands. The Lord simply benedicted him, and Prahlad Maharaj was able to recite so many wonderful prayers. So this is, you know, it's said that Atashi Krishna Nabhavedkara Indriyai Seva Mukheji Vido Swayameva Sparayada, that no one is able to understand the name, fame, quality, pastimes of the Supreme Lord through our blunt material senses. How can we understand anything of Krishna? Actually, it's stated that until one comes to spontaneous platform of Krishna consciousness, one's not really performing. It's conditional devotional service. It's like we're practicing, and we're going through the mercy of our spiritual master, and he's offering our devotion to Krishna. Therefore, it's very important in the neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness that we keep an extremely humble attitude toward our spiritual master. Even the greatest personalities, such as Lord Brahma, say that, you know, I know nothing. You know, I know nothing at all, Krishna. And even if the greatest scientists in the world were able to somehow or other, which they can't, count all the different atoms in the universe and all the grains of sand, still they would not be even able to calculate an insignificant fraction of the unlimited wonderful attributes of this Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj became perfectly aware of the Vedic conclusion and understood the absolute truth and his relationship with all living entities. In accordance with the line of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, whose fame is widespread, Dhruva, who in the future would receive a planet which would never be annihilated even during the time of dissolution, offered his deliberate and conclusive prayers. Just see how unlimitedly kind Krishna is. We think Krishna doesn't understand what we're thinking. We think he doesn't understand our desires. We think many times that we may think he doesn't understand how difficult it is for us with a materially conditioned mind and senses to overcome these material inebrieties. Of course, the process of Krishna consciousness has made it so incredibly easy for us, simply by associating with devotees, attending the programs, just showing a little bit of enthusiasm. That's all we need. And in this one short lifetime, we can go back to home, back to Godhead. And even if one has some, sincerely follows the process of devotional service, but yet has some desire at the point of death, Krishna can easily facilitate his enjoyment in the heavenly planets for many millions and billions of years. So even without the devotee desiring, look what Krishna's done for Dhruva Maharaj, who, although he had these desires, and they were strong desires, when he saw Krishna standing before him, the vision of the Lord was so incredibly powerful that, as mentioned, he achieved all the mystic perfections in an instant and achieved all the highest stages of ecstasy in his transcendental senses. And he immediately gave up this desire of even having any kingdom. We will recite a few of his prayers if we can. Further on, Dhruva Maharaj gave up his desire to have any kind of a kingdom. And what was his desire? How is desire changed? My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited that it far is beyond the stage of Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in the impersonal Brahman as one with the Supreme. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary blissfulness of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time. Although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course of time. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, primarily from Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, cannot be compared to the happiness derived by karmis by elevating themselves to the heavenly planets, or by jnanis or yogis who enjoy oneness with the supreme and personal Brahman. Yogis generally meditate upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, but devotees not only meditate upon him, but actually engage in the direct service of the Lord. So, this is our incredible great fortune, to be able to take birth in a planet like Bhartavarsha. And I've been thinking in the last few days how fortunate it is coming to Vrindavan and being able to associate with all the residents of Bhartavarsha. What to speak of the residents of Vrindavan. And just in observing some of the bodily features of the residents of Bhartavarsha. And also, just recently, I went to South India. It's mentioned also in Srimad Bhagavatam I was down in the Mysore area, and there the numerous holy rivers, predominantly the Kaveri River, it's talked about in Srimad Bhagavatam, how elevated, that some of the best devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take birth in this area. And when I was down there, just spending a few days with these devotees, made me really, really become really humble and appreciate how exalted these devotees are and how rare it is, just like it's rare to take a birth in Bhartavarsha. So I was think it was really rare for me to be able to get the association of such exalted devotees that by their pure behavior, even devotees, you know, aspiring devotees like myself, could make rapid spiritual advancement by their association. So we're all so fortunate, and we have to attend to that great fortune with great enthusiasm, and realizing our good fortune, and become cautious that we don't become lax in our performing our devotional service. Simply a moment's inattention, and it can cause the greatest havoc. And the more and more attachment that we get for hearing and chanting about the Lord, the more taste we get for chanting the Lord's holy name, and for living in a holy place like Vrindavan, associating with the devotees, the more our taste grows and grows, the more we'll develop that quality of not wanting to waste a second in the service of the Lord. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your kind attention. If there are any questions or comments. Jai Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. I don't know, is there a microphone? I don't think so. Oh, there's one coming. Question, please question it, ask it again.
Don't the residents of Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, don't they have the freedom of practicing devotional service and going back in one life?
Yes, they actually do. They actually do. And, you know, there's great saintly persons that are in the heavenly planets. Sometimes Narada Muni goes there, there's Brihaspati. There's many great devotees visit there from time to time. But the problem is that sense gratification is so easily available, and it's so intoxicating because it's on such a high level that people become bewildered as to the importance of performing devotional service. So that's the whole point of what the demigods are saying here, that although in one sense the opportunity is greater, they have greater intelligence, they have, you know, great association up there, but they also have a much greater facility for material sense enjoyment. And as we know from Bhagavad Gita, that those whose minds are addicted to material opulence and sense gratification, that determination, that dridhavrata that comes, that one needs to practice devotional service and to go back in one lifetime is not very available in the heavenly planets. We hear the story of Katvanga Maharaj, who was fighting for the demigods for many years. And when he finally asked the demigods, "How much longer do I have to live?" they said, "You only have a moment longer." So he didn't hesitate. He immediately came down to the earth planet and engaged in severe austerities and penances and transferred himself back to home, back to Godhead. So although the facility for performing devotional service may be good in the heavenly planets, still because of the association with sense gratification, the great tendency towards that, it's considered much, much more difficult, to the extent that the intelligent demigods are desiring to come down here. Plus, the benefit that we have of it being able to perform missionary activities on behalf of great exalted devotees like Srila Prabhupada, this really is so much superior to anything. I mean, it's so exciting when you hear about the devotees, just like Shyama Sundar Prabhu. He was talking about his memories with Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying, they were talking about, you know, there's 26 qualities in general of a devotee, and devotees talk about different qualities of Srila Prabhupada. He was saying his quality of Srila Prabhupada, his favorite quality, is that of adventure. And because when he said when he was with Srila Prabhupada, it was a non-stop adventure. And life was so exciting at all the time. I remember when we joined back in, I joined in the early 70s and also in the late 60s, just having Srila Prabhupada on the planet, it was so exciting. And we lived our life at a pace that was so high. You know, devotees who are dedicated to like book distribution, like non-stop, it's the only service that I can see it's that carries that kind of intensity, where, you know, you're so fully engaged. I mean, you have to be, because, you know, if you're not completely absorbed in distributing books and in praying to Krishna, you know, it's very easily, immediately one can become overcome by the material energy. So it's very exciting being part, being able to participate in the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness. And therefore devotees, their attitude is, doesn't even matter, you know, if I go back to Godhead or whatever. I mean, the way I feel is that I'm not at all qualified anyway to go back to Godhead. But if we simply absorb ourselves in service and in missionary activities, then we'll experience what it's like to be situated in our constitutional position. And as Lord Chaitanya said, our constitutional position is Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor Das Das Anudasa. And once we're situated in the intensity of realizing our constitutional position like that, then, you know, we can say, it's said in one sense, that we already are back to Godhead. I hope that long-winded answer answered your question. Anyone else? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.